So far, with our Lives of Great Purpose series, we've talked about how God has called us to partner with Him and all the good things He wants to do on this earth. He's given us authority to bring peace and grace and joy and love and gentleness and hope to this earth in His name. So we are called to be dispensers of these things, and we should not be stingy about giving them out. In all these things we are called to bring to this earth, to our family, to our street we live on, to our friends and co-workers, in all these things we should be generous. Today, I want to talk about something else we are called to dispense to this dark world, and that is light. We're called to be dispensers of light. And I'm going to say something rather shocking, something that sounds heretical, but bear with me, it's not. Is Jesus the light of the world? Well, in one sense, of course He is. But in another sense, right now, Jesus is not the light of the world. Jesus Himself said in the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verse 5, He said, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." So upon His leaving this world to rejoin the Father in heavenly places, He passed that responsibility of being the light of the world to us. He passed the torch, so to speak, to His followers. His followers are called to shine light into the world, and we be His followers. So in one sense, He is still and will always be the light of the world, because it is His light we are shining, not our own. He is that light, but He no longer shines that light through His physical body here on earth. He shines His light through us. Jesus is like the sun. The sun has light in itself, but we are like the moon. The moon shines, but not its own light. It shines the sun's light because it has no light in itself. So we shine light to the world around us, but it is not our own light. And I stress the point that He's called us to be the light of the world so that it really registers with us that without us shining, there is no shining. If we don't shine as His followers, there is no light. And if we don't shine His light, darkness has its way over the earth. The light of the world. Even before Jesus was born on earth, even before His incarnation, centuries before that great event, it was revealed through the prophets that Jesus would be the light of the world. Isaiah 9:1 says, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, He humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, He will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Zebulun and Naphtali, two of the 12 tribes of Israel. The land allotted to Zebulun and Naphtali by God through Moses was the northernmost part of the nation of Israel. The name Galilee derives from two Hebrew words meaning circuit or district. The region has been called Galilee since about the 7th century BC. The land of Naphtali and Zebulun became part of Galilee. These two tribes, like the rest of Israel, had forsaken the Lord, turned to idolatry, and they were the first to be conquered and carried into exile by the Assyrians. There was deep darkness there, the darkness of sin and idolatry, the darkness of oppression by a foreign power. But Isaiah prophesied the coming of the Messiah to that cursed land, and that would turn the curse into a blessing, because a light has dawned, and Jesus would be that light. Also, in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, speaking of Jesus, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light of all mankind. The life of Jesus was the light. Next it says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." So there is darkness over the earth, but Jesus shines his light into it, and just as physical darkness cannot defeat physical light, so spiritual darkness cannot overcome the light of Jesus. Light always wins the struggle between light and darkness. Where there is light, that is, and spiritual darkness cannot overcome spiritual light. But Jesus was not the only one who shined light, even back then when he first appeared on earth. We come to verse 6 of the passage that I was just reading. It says that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. So here, the Apostle John is talking about John the Baptist. And he's making it clear that John the Baptist was not the Messiah who was to be the light of the world. Some thought he was. But John the Baptist himself said he was not. He was not the light. But John the Baptist did shine, as we shall see. He did shine. We go to chapter 4 of John's Gospel, and we see, and we go to verse 35, and it says, "John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light." So John the Baptist shined, even though he was not the Messiah. How did he shine? Well, he pointed to the Messiah. He pointed to Jesus. He declared Jesus to be the Messiah, and so he became a lamp that burned and gave light. John was a dispenser of light. But in practical ways, how do we shine the light of Jesus? Matthew 5, verse 14, that we looked at earlier, gives us some ideas. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." Then he said, "A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." So Jesus, by illustration, is pointing out how inappropriate, how strange and unnatural it would be to light a candle and hide it under a bowl. The point of light is that it's there to shine, not to be hidden. But how? Well, one way is mentioned in the next verse, verse 16. "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." That they may see your good deeds. Good deeds shine light. The good things we do for others, our acts of kindness, do indeed shine light. 1 Timothy 5:24 and 25 says, "The sins of some are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them." In the same way, good deeds are obvious, and even those that are not obvious cannot remain hidden. Good deeds are witnessed by others, and they shine. Now we go to the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 12. "Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." Then it says, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a warped and crooked generation in which you shine like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. We shine like stars when we do everything without grumbling and arguing. Oh, wait. Does that mean that negativity, a sour and disagreeable demeanor, dims our light? The light we are supposed to be shining? Why, yes, that's exactly what it means. Let's look at another verse. The Apostle Peter makes a similar appeal in 1 Peter 2:11. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Our good deeds are seen, and they result one way or another in glory being given to God and Jesus, whose light we shine. Now we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, that is the ministry of shining the light of Jesus, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. The good deeds we do shine light, but also the kind of life we live shines light. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9 says, "Now about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so you will not be dependent on anybody." So a respectable, responsible, self-controlled life shines. A quiet life shines. A life of kindness and good deeds shines. Ah, but what if people don't know we're Christians? What if they think we are just good by nature? Well, there are ways of letting people know we're Christians without being in people's face about it. And I've been thinking much about this topic. As I mentioned a few weeks ago, I started saying to people, "Have a blessed day." I started doing that, and then someone said to me, "Blessings on your day." I like that even better, so I started saying that. Blessings on your day. I don't know anyone that imparts blessings like that around here but Christians. But just in case someone doesn't know that, I started wearing this little cross. And I got this button that says, "What can I pray for you today?" Well, that's a very non-threatening way to witness. That communicates that I'm here to serve, not to push my faith on anyone. But if I wear that cross or that button, I better live up to it with the kind of behavior that cross demands. To conclude, however we choose to shine our light, shine we must. How we choose to shine is optional, but whether or not to shine, that's not optional. That's the command of our Lord Jesus, who gave us his light to shine.
How lovely shines the morning star,
The nations see and hail afar, the light in Judah shining. Thou David, son of Jacob's race, my bridegroom and my king of grace, for thee my heart is pining. Lowly, holy, great and glorious, thou victorious Prince of Graces, filling all the heavenly places. Now richly to my waiting heart, O thou my God, deign to impart the grace of love undying. In thy blessed body let me be, e'en as the branches in the tree, thy life my life supplying, sighing, crying for the savor of thy favor resting never, till I rest in thee forever. Thou mighty Father, in thy Son didst love me ere thou hadst begun this ancient world's foundation. Thy Son hath made a friend of me, and when in spirit him I see, I joy in tribulation. What bliss is this? He that liveth to me giveth life forever. Nothing me from him can sever.